laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your Lula Rich watching, scary true stories binging, my headache meds just kicked in, and now I can't be stopped, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your over-the-door wire organizers are my favorite thing for inside of closets, vanilla lavender donuts have been rocking my world, roasted broccoli is so delicious, please rethink everything you know about broccoli and roast it with soy sauce, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I am debunking daily health targets like 8 hours of sleep. Do we really need it? 8 glasses of water every day. Do we really need it? 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. And do we really need to brush our teeth for 2 minutes straight?
3 fingers of whiskey every night. Do we really need it? Yes.
Those and other daily health targets I will be talking about this week for my topic. How about you, Bethany?
Scary Airbnb stories. I have been like imbibing nonstop from this YouTube channel named Mr. Nightmare, and he just has the best stories, and some of them are awful things that happen in Airbnbs, including one about this woman named Jessica and what she purportedly found in the ceiling of the Airbnb she was staying in. So I am going to give you some of those good old spooky Airbnb stories.
You know, remember that topic we did eons ago about how to spot hidden cameras in hotel rooms and Airbnbs?
Yes.
I'm going to link that in our show notes because that's a good refresher every now and then before you travel.
Yeah. Like really, like what? I recently saw a movie. I don't remember what it was called, but Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey was in it.
Yeah.
And it's him and 3 other people, like 2 couples staying in this Airbnb. And they notice that one of the little water holes in the shower head is not a water hole at all. 'Tis a camera. And ever since then, anytime I go to a hotel, which has been once, I think, since I saw the movie, like I look for that stuff. I look for cameras. They say bring like a flathead screwdriver or a Phillips screwdriver so you can take the front facing panels off of your electrical outlets.
Yes.
To see if they're putting like mics or cameras in there. It's like, yeah, you can go full on paranoia.
This is why you always need to travel with a Leatherman tool.
Listen, does the TSA take your Leathermans away from you?
I usually check a bag because I'm a United card member, so I can check a bag for free.
Brag.
I mean, depending on where I'm going. But my dad, it was so funny. Like when my brother and I turned 18, he handed each of us a Leatherman tool and he's like, never leave home without this.
That's so cool. I've never had one. I want one.
Oh, you are missing out. Yeah, good housekeeping. I was reading my Apple News subscription this morning and sometimes they have articles there that aren't available on the regular internet. Good Housekeeping put out something recently about everything you need to survive, sort of like a disaster list, but from Good Housekeeping.
Is it like the right pots and pans and the best apron?
It was Bethany Instant Pot was on the list. I'm like, okay, if you don't have electricity. But they also talked about fireproof boxes, you know, for your important documents, which I think is important. And it's not something I really ever think about. But the Leatherman tool was on their list.
Really? Yes. Okay. Maybe I got to give myself a Leatherman tool. Kathleen, you were in Miami over the last like few days and you got back home. How was your trip?
It was good. I went to Miami for 3 nights, which is all you need in Miami. Just a little R&R. And I stayed in this wonderful hotel called The Standard, which isn't very instance like South Beach can typically be.
Yeah, we're not instance people.
Yeah. And it's just like a really relaxing pool. They have amazing frosés. You can it's a quick Uber ride to the beach if you want to spend a day at the beach, which we did. And oh man, the water in South Beach There's like no waves. It's like bath water. It's so warm.
Did you bring a parasol or some sort of skin protectant from the evil, evil sun, Kathleen?
We rented. Oh, man. It's worth every penny, but it really hurts my wallet. We rented beach chairs and umbrella. That cost us $60.
Worth it. That's worth it.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to spend all day there. But it's like, oh, my God, nickel. Why don't you take my right kidney? But it was just – it was nice to get some sun, you know.
Yeah. And get away.
And some cocktails and whatnot. What did you do this weekend, Bethany?
What did I do this weekend? Watched a lot of Airbnb videos. And then yesterday I, too, was at the beach for about an hour.
Yeah.
Every once in a while my aerial class does wind training because if you do aerial outside, especially by water, the wind is whipping the fabric around so much that it takes so many extra muscles to do anything because you're just being yanked around. And so like trying to put footlocks in, they're not just hanging. The fabric isn't just hanging down straight like it normally does. It's like moving towards the ocean. So it's really good training. So we did wind training yesterday and got some dope ass pictures. So I was on the beach for about an hour and then I scurried back home.
That's why I was like, well, damn, I've never heard you talking about going to the beach before.
No, I had my black lace parasol above my head, but it was good. It was fun. It was nice to get some of that fresh air. I hear it's good for you. I hear the sun is good for you. I'm good. It was good.
So my condo building has an HOA and there's this guy. I shouldn't say his real name.
Say his real name.
Let's call him.
Don't say his real name.
Let's call him Joshua.
Okay, Joshua.
Joshua sends out this email. And Bethany, I made the mistake of thinking that the email was sent only to me. But so Joshua sends out this email that says, there are a lot of large packages in the lobby. Residents don't deserve to live amongst all these large packages. Please retrieve your packages now. Jeez. And I've been ordering like, you know, mirrors and vanity lights and all sorts of things for our new apartment. And I thought he sent it directly to me.
Were you feeling attacked?
I was feeling so attacked. So I responded to him without realizing that he had sent it to the whole building. And was like, you know what, Joshua? A softer tone would be much appreciated in your next email. But I'm very sorry and I'll go down and get the packages immediately.
Did you hear back from Joshua?
I did, but now I'm so embarrassed. I'm too afraid to read it.
Oh, wait, Kathleen, please pull it up and read it now.
All right.
It's important because this either got escalated or Joshua backed down or Joshua's like, wow, you took this personally.
Have you ever stood up for yourself like that in an email and asked somebody to speak in a softer tone?
I'm trying to think. No, I don't think I have, but I do know that a lot of people on the listserv that you and I are both on have.
Yeah.
Anytime someone decides to take a stand about anything, they immediately get pounced on this listserv, and then the piling on happens, and then they dare to be like, could people maybe be a little nicer and not jump to conclusions? And then more people pile on, and I don't email anything.
Okay, let's see.
What do you say?
I said, very sorry about missing the boxes.
Do you want to say Joshua instead?
Oh shit. I said, hey, Joshua, very sorry about missing the boxes. Next time a softer tone in your email would be greatly appreciated. I will pick up my boxes right away.
Did you leave a sign off or did it just end there?
Thanks, Kathleen Heaney.
Thanks, Kathleen. Okay, great. What do you say?
He says, hi, Kathleen. Just making sure you're aware that this email blast was sent to all the building owners. Oh, shit. I'm such an asshole. He goes, I get regular requests from some to send out blasts about packages because they build up and they're just sitting around and I just cut and paste.
Please email him back and say the following words.
All right, hang on.
Dear Joshua, put in his real name. I am mortified.
Mortified.
JKJK, comma.
JKJK.
Those packages are not mine.
Packages are not mine.
I definitely have not been ordering a mirror, comma.
Okay.
A coffee table, comma. Uh-huh. And a bunker.
Uh-huh.
From IKEA.
Okay.
Period.
JKJK. Bethany, I can't send this
either. Please disregard, Kathleen, please disregard my previous admission/message.
Okay.
Lols.
With a Z.
Yep, lols. I do all my shopping in person. Hashtag shop small business.
Bethany, he's going to think I'm a serial killer.
P.S.
Okay. Oh, there's more. All right, P.S.
What apartment are you in? We should hang out sometime.
Oh, okay. He doesn't live in the building, my friend.
Wait, he doesn't live in the building and he's still complaining?
It's the management company.
Oh. Send. Send.
I would greatly appreciate a softer tone.
Yeah, I mean, your request for a softer tone is not, it's still like not uncalled for. He could be a little nicer. Look, people order things online. This is, you know what? Delete everything I just told you to write.
Okay.
Respond in all capitals like you don't know how to use email and just say, people shop online now. Get with the future. It's the 2000s. Hashtag the internet is a series of tubes.
You know what? But when I went to Miami, I got back and I went into the package room, which was also the gym. And someone had ordered a Kohler toilet that was just sitting there in the box. So we kind of see where he's coming from. But yeah.
Did you... In my head, the toilet was just sent as a toilet and it's sitting in the gym like it's some new, like, integrated piece of gym equipment.
It's a toilet-shaped box. It's a toilet-shaped box. Yeah. There's this new show. We were watching it on Hulu. I think it's a Hulu original. It is called Why the Last Man.
Oh, yes. I've heard of this, where there's like one guy left on Earth and then a bunch of ladies.
This virus kills all the men. There's only one guy left. It's based off of some graphic novels that Neil has read. So he was really into watching it. Bethany, you have to see it. It's so good. Diane Lane is the president.
Diane Lane is a national treasure.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the documentary National Treasure and a subsequent documentary National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets. Diane Lane is amazing. They tried to make her ugly in Justice League by olding her up, and like she still was radiant and couldn't be helped.
Yeah.
Is it like, does anyone get murdered?
Yes, Bethany. There is all sorts of murder.
Yes.
And it really makes me think, if all of the men that I knew died, I have no skills. I can't fix any. I have no fixable infrastructure skills.
But there are plenty of women who have fixable, who have infrastructure skills.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
not enough, Bethany. Not enough.
We're all doing it for ourselves.
And Neil said that you and I could do the radio show that gives everybody pertinent information.
Absolutely. We'll be that radio show like in Pontypool. We're like, okay, everybody, everything's going to hell. This is what we've been training for. Bust out your weapons. By the way, I found out you can get a mace on the internet still.
Yeah, of course.
Which I will be ordering.
Yeah, of course you can get mace on the internet.
And, no, not like, not the spray, the medieval weapon.
Oh.
Watch out, dudes.
The world is racing to get back to normal. Sort of.
Yeah.
And people are starting to meet up in person again. But after the year that we've all had, getting back to feeling normal can take a little bit of time.
Yeah. Whether you have some social anxiety about getting back into the world, or you've realized that you haven't missed certain people and maybe it's time to cut out some people from your life, you may need to talk to someone about that and prioritize your mental health. And that's why we are such a huge fan of Talkspace.
Bethany and I talk about going to therapy all the time and how it's changed our lives. And Talkspace makes it so easy to match with a licensed therapist and to schedule live video sessions all from the comfort of your home and your device. You can start messaging your therapist the same day that you sign up.
Yeah, the Talkspace app makes it easy to connect with your licensed therapist on your schedule. You don't have to wait weeks before your next appointment, and you can go anywhere and take your therapist with you.
And it's not about having very specific mental health issues. Sometimes a therapist is really great to just help you set goals and help sure that you're making progress in life with the things that you want to accomplish.
And we've spent so much time sort of with ourselves the last 18 months or so. You may have realized some things about yourself or some things about boundaries with your family or friends that you really want to talk to someone about.
It's important to have tools to help you cope during difficult times.
Plus, Talkspace therapists are experts in dozens of specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more, to help you start feeling better.
So start feeling better with a single message and match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off of your first month with the promo code TASTE.
That's $100 off when you use the code TASTE at Talkspace.com. So Kathleen, my nightmare is staying any place that's not my home and discovering that someone is watching me.
Yeah.
And that is why I just wanted to focus on creepy Airbnb stories this week because it's the spooky season. It's top of mind. It's all we watched over the weekend. I'm linking you to Mr. Nightmare's YouTube series on in the show notes because, okay, Kathleen, I told you during the live show that Dennis has been watching or listening to a lot of Let's Not Meet, the podcast.
And so he's like deathly afraid of peeping Toms now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so like I have better curtains in my kitchen, which I needed to get anyway. But do not watch Mr. Nightmare's YouTube videos unless you are in a place where you are feeling confident in the safety of your home and you also have someone with you to remind you to watch a palate cleansing video before bed.
Oh, wait. Is that like eating pear sorbet in between,
yeah.
in between like appetizers and your main meal?
Yeah. Yeah. Or sniffing coffee beans while you're testing out perfumes.
You know, this is... It's really strange that you're telling me about this because over the weekend, my cousin sent me a news story about a woman who discovered a peeping Tom outside of her house and she just took out her shotgun and shot him dead.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She just pointed it at him through the window and
whoa.
Yeah. And then also my friend was telling me about this awful first date where she discovered this guy that she was on a date with. He lived at the fraternity across the street from her sorority. And he like very jokingly on the first date mentioned that him and his frat brothers used to go on the roof because they had a perfect view into the sorority girls' bathroom. So he could see them and they would drink beers and watch the girls in the bathroom.
Wow. He shouldn't have admitted that because that's illegal.
I know.
God. Try harder, dudes, to not be absolute felons. So if you're thinking of going on vacation, perhaps for the holidays and renting an Airbnb,
yeah.
Let's just talk about some of the awful things that might happen, okay?
Oh, I'm excited.
Great. Now, these are from Reddit, so they cannot be confirmed as 100% true unless otherwise stated.
Okay.
All right? But they're fun to think about and read, and here we go. So this is from 15 Sunflowers on Reddit. My fiancé and I were staying at an Airbnb in Helsinki. Kathleen, where is Helsinki? It is in, say it with me, Finland. Yes, to visit family. When we were there, we got settled. We were chatting about things we thought were missing in the apartment.
Huh.
Specifically, I remember saying I wished there was another towel hook in the bathroom because there was only one. And obviously, we were using two towels.
Okay, that really, I understand that. That bugs the freaking shit out of me. Because more than once, I've stayed in a place where there weren't enough towel hooks in the bathroom. And it's like, what am I supposed to do with this towel?
Yeah.
I don't want to
put
it over your furniture and ruin your furniture.
Yeah, and I don't want to put it over the door because I don't know the last time you dusted the top of your door.
Oh,
you know?
My God. When you look at the top of your door, there's critters living up there.
It's like, why'd you paint the top of your door gray? Oh, wait.
Why does anybody paint the top of their door unless they're living with a giant?
So the next day, she says, we went out and we were pretty much gone all day. When we got back that night, there was another towel hook in the bathroom.
Shut the fuck up.
How did they know, Kathleen? How could they possibly have known? She asked while studying her fingernails away from the microphone.
Okay, you're trying to act very casual right now, but they know because there wasn't a place to put the towel that morning.
Well, no, how did the Airbnb host know that they wanted an extra towel?
There's cameras. They're listening. Yeah.
They're listening in.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They're always listening in. Everyone's always listening in. Gentle listener, I'm listening in to you right now. You're very funny.
Bethany. That's wildly disturbing.
Yeah, it's awful. This is from Pavav Reishkuf. This is less scary and just more interesting.
Okay.
So this is where they stayed. The house where the owner, who was single and lived alone, had four things hung up on his fridge. His own Christmas newsletters for the past 4 years. That's something I would do. In 2017, he designed a fur suit.
Oh.
I know this because the picture of him in the fur suit made it into that year's Christmas newsletter, which was hanging on the fridge.
I mean, you designed that, like, that yellow feather bird jacket, Bethany. So this really, like a few years ago, this isn't that far off from you.
No, it's true. And also, we stayed in an Airbnb where the woman posted and framed nude photos of herself all over the house.
That's right, when you were staying like in right outside of San Francisco.
Yeah, I saw that woman's vagina more than I've ever seen my own. This is from Armored Dragon 17. So my siblings, grandma, and I were staying in a camping cabin, not in the middle of nowhere, but in a pretty secluded spot. Mm-hmm. Around 11 p.m., we're hanging in the living room of the cabin on our phones when I suddenly hear the doorknob of the cabin jiggle.
Stop.
I instinctively turn in the direction of the door to see what's going on. Unfortunately, the window of the door is made of this smudged material, so I can only see the figure of someone. As soon as I look, the figure moves away. I get this uneasy feeling, mostly because I've been listening to a podcast about the Golden State Killer. And as I get up to check the door, my sister tells me not to open it. She had the same feeling as me and tells me we should lock the rest of the doors and windows. Nothing happened the rest of the evening, and we all went to bed. Now, if nothing else had happened the rest of the night, we probably would have forgotten about the incident. But the next morning, as we were getting ready, my grandma told us she saw something odd in the middle of the night.
No.
According to her, she was awoken at 2:30 a.m. for no reason, but as she looked towards the window, she saw a tall, dark shadow standing on the other end of the curtains of the open window.
No. Grandma, shut your window, Grandma.
I know. She told us that as soon as she looked, the figure moved on. She then got up quickly and closed the window. Close the window first!
I mean, maybe you and I are just city people, but unless it's the second floor and there's no fire escape, I don't sleep with windows open.
No. No, you cannot. And we've talked on a live Patreon show about this, and we had a lovely patron who lives out in the middle of nowhere, I believe Wisconsin, and sleeps with her first floor windows wide open. And when we were like, no, she was like, ha, 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 yeah. And we're like, no.
You can't do that. I'm sorry. You can't.
No, especially not in the middle of nowhere, because then like the cops won't come on time is the problem.
I had this issue when I was in college. Our bedroom was on the first floor and it was 1,000 degrees outside and there was no central air, but we would rather sweat in our sleep, like sweat to death, than sleep with the window open or put in an AC unit in the window because it's not safe.
It's not safe. It's not safe.
Unless you install those bars.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to get them made in the shape of a square so it fits the back of your AC.
I know. I always see that. And I'm what it looks like is that the building gained a little weight.
Yeah.
And they decided to just build the bars around the weight gain. It's like, it's okay. Just take the bars out a little bit. We'll go with what we've done. The building has accepted itself as it is, which is good.
I am so suspicious of literally everybody that it might be to the point where it's just not good anymore. I don't know.
Look, I've been imbibing creepy stories. Like, I've been mainlining them. Like, I've opened up a vein and I'm putting all of them in my bloodstream. And no one can be trusted, Kathleen. From what I've learned, no one can be trusted. Not even little old ladies. They'll show up in your Ring camera holding a knife in the middle of the night and looking confused. It's very upsetting.
Or if you know them and they're staying in the Airbnb with you, they're dumb enough to leave the window open while they're sleeping.
My God, that grandma should be like cut out of the family. Okay. This is from Redditor to Bob Oliviano.
Okay.
This is a little bit longer one, but I like it an awful lot. I stayed at a lovely Airbnb in Iowa for my little brother's graduation. He didn't know I was going to make it, so we threw a surprise party at the Airbnb. While we were setting up, my other brother and I went down to the basement to get an extra table. The second we got down there, we looked at each other and said, "Yep, it's scary here." We searched for the table. The longer I spent in the basement, the greater the feeling of dread grew in me. We found the extra table and headed back upstairs, joking about how creepy a seemingly normal basement was. My whole family got together and the party started. Now, while we were celebrating, my girlfriend decided that she would run the washer, which was downstairs, so she was going to go down alone. But she came back and asked me to go with her since it was creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The basements are creepy. Again, I went down and rushed to leave. The basement was now officially scary to me. The party continued and we had a wonderful time. And as the night started to settle, people got in their Ubers and back to their hotels. And now it was just me and my girlfriend unwinding after an afternoon of eating and drinking. We were relaxing when the laundry buzzer went off. I looked at her and she said she didn't pick up the load from earlier. I thought it was strange that it hadn't beeped hours ago.
Oh my God.
We headed down to the basement. Again, she stopped at the stairs to the basement and asked me to go first.
Uh-huh.
As I was going down, The buzzer on the washer went off again.
No.
We both jumped and I hurried down, grabbed the laundry, and we headed back up the stairs to let it air dry. As we finished, I could tell she was still nervous, and we decided to go through the house and lock all the windows and doors. This is standard when we visit an Airbnb. We never miss this step.
Yeah.
My girlfriend stays beside me this whole time. We finally have one last door, which is the door to the back garden right outside the kitchen and at the top of the basement. So I go, I lock the door, yeah, and ignore the sense of dread I felt with my back turned to the basement.
Oh, that means that someone could come in the garden door.
Yeah.
And go right down into the basement.
Exactly. Straight down. By the way, this was the exact layout of the Airbnb we stayed in over Christmas, which is very upsetting.
I stayed at an Airbnb once where I was in the basement. I think I went down to look for paper towels or something.
Yeah.
There were guns down there, like, ugh, not locked up.
Oh.
And I touched one.
Why'd you get your fingerprints on it?
I know. And then my girlfriend was like, please, like, wipe off your fingerprints from that. So if it's ever a murder weapon, they don't come knocking at your door.
Yeah, no kidding. Ugh, God.
Oh, God.
All right, we continue.
Uh-huh.
He says, I should mention this was an oldish house, so the stairs were steep and the bedroom where we slept was probably originally an attic. In order to turn on the lights upstairs, you had to flip a switch at the bottom of the stairs. This is pretty common.
Yeah.
As we made our way in the dimly lit house to the light switch, I think our sense of tiredness just overcame the dread we had. I flipped on the switch and headed for the stairs. Just as I did, I heard a loud banging sound, like the sound of pots or something metallic clanging. It was a fast tone, whack, whack, whack. My girlfriend's face was full of fear, and I'm sure mine was too. I began to go for the kitchen where there was a knife, but then I heard the whacking again at the top of the stairs.
No.
Whack, whack, whack. I turned to look against the now illuminated attic, and I saw a ceiling fan turned on to its max setting and its mounting pole making the sound. I ran upstairs and turned off the fan, and my girlfriend was close behind me. We got ready for bed. I headed downstairs to turn off the light switch, went upstairs. I looked outside of the window of the attic to check on my car out front, and everything was good. We began to fall asleep. It was a restless night, hot and stuffy. I had dreams of seeing a shadowy figure out on the lawn. I woke up the next morning exhausted. I made my way down to the kitchen to brew some coffee. As I was turning around, I looked at the staircase to the basement. Something was wrong. And I don't know why, but I was drawn to the basement again. I looked down the stairs and walked down. I looked around and I saw nothing. I headed upstairs. We had breakfast, packed our bags, got ready to go. As we were doing one last sweep, I checked the kitchen one more time to make sure everything was in good shape.
Oh, my God.
These are very respectful Airbnbers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's the type that you would want staying in your Airbnb.
Absolutely. 5-star guest. Just as I was about to say, all good, let's go, the damn laundry machine buzzed.
Forget it.
Both me and my girlfriend were like, nope, and nope. We proceeded to get the fuck out.
Yep.
As we were leaving in a rush, I grabbed the bags and told my girlfriend to start the car. And as I was, the fan upstairs turned on again and began making the whack, whack, whack noise.
No.
I have never bolted so fast out of a house. And when I got to the car, my girlfriend saw the look of panic on my face. What happened? The fan turned on again, I said. I got her out of the driver's seat. We sped off to collect our thoughts at a local diner. After they calmed down, he said, I texted the Airbnb host that the washer kept on making noises and that I couldn't figure out how to turn off the ceiling fan upstairs. They messaged back. Thank you for staying with us.
With us?
Thank you for staying with us.
With us?
It's awful. What are you doing?
Sorry. I need to plug this computer in. I didn't realize it wasn't plugged in. I'm sorry. Wait. Please don't die.
This is a palate cleanser.
It's the pear sorbet. I only know about that pear sorbet because that's what they eat in the Princess Diaries in between meals.
While she's in, like, Monrovia or whatever?
Genovia.
All right. I'm back in business. I'm all plugged
in. You want one more?
Oh, Bethany, I want 10 more. Are you kidding me?
This is from Mr. Nightmare's YouTube channel.
Okay.
A Redditor named Jessica posted this about an Airbnb she was staying in. So the owners weren't home. The keys were just left in the lock. Shortly into her stay, she was getting ready to shower when she started hearing sounds inside the walls. Now, there's video of this. She rushed to get her camera to get the sounds on video, and you can see her sitting on the bathroom sink with her ear pressed to the tile wall. And you can hear what sounds like muffled voices if they were coming through water. Sort of like that.
Yeah.
You know, like just kind of a, you can't make out what they're saying, but it's definitely human.
Yeah.
Then she looks up. And sees that on the bathroom ceiling, which is a white ceiling, someone has taped white paper over an air vent to try and make the air vent blend in with the rest of the white ceiling. So she gets up, she pulls the paper and tape off of the air vent, and the voices are now coming through much clearer. There are two people who are speaking Latin.
What?
But as soon as she pulls the covering off, the voices stop, which is awful. But that's not the worst part of the story.
What? I mean, this girl's pretty smart to even be able to identify Latin.
Right. Or come up with this whole idea and make a short film out of it. It's hard to say. It kind of looks like a TikTok video. It might not be real at all, but it's very scary. The worst part of the story, Kathleen, if this were true, Jessica went to bed with the bathroom door open and the light on. While she was asleep, someone took a picture of her. The person taking the picture is holding a piece of paper out that reads, "It's rude to eavesdrop."
What? Get the F out of here.
I hate it when people take pictures of people asleep. I hate it if they're dating, and I hate it more if they're not.
This may be an unpopular opinion because I know a lot of people worship at the altar of Airbnb.
Ugh.
I prefer hotels.
Yeah, me too. Kathleen, why do you prefer hotels?
I prefer hotels because by the time you pay the dang cleaning fees and all this other BS that Airbnb charges you, it's basically the same price to stay in a hotel.
Yes, and also hotels are a bit more regulated.
Yes.
You know that it is a company behind the hotel.
Uh-huh.
You know that it's held accountable to certain standards and practices.
Yes.
And that enough people have stayed there before you that they're probably not going to get killed in the night by at least the hotel owners, you know? Like, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know, and you never know. And, like, I don't know. You don't know. No one knows. It's so upsetting.
I mean, Airbnbs are great for big groups because, yes, sometimes if you need, like, 8 hotel rooms, that can add up. But usually when I travel, it's just me and Neil, and Airbnb sometimes is too, I don't know, it's too big for just what 2 people need.
And yes, and I just, I think I've stayed in 2 my whole life.
Well, you stayed in 1 over this Christmas season.
Yeah, I stayed in 1 this Christmas and stayed in 1 a couple years ago in San Francisco. And like, yeah, in San Francisco, it was the woman with all her nude stuff. And she was sort of like, she was also like a religious child of the world. And so she had, she had like her chicken claws next to her statue of Buddha, next to her cross, like with some like Native American symbolism and also like some Egyptian god stuff. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And she also didn't have any AC. So it was just really hot. And then we go to the one over Christmas and both Dennis and I were terrified the whole time and didn't tell each other. And it was like, there was a guy Dennis just told me this weekend who was sort of walking around the place that he didn't tell me about.
Oh,
and then
God.
I heard the footsteps one night that I didn't tell him about. It was just scary as hell.
No.
A hotel. Because you also have people around you to hear you if you scream.
And you get room service if you're hungry.
Yes, Kathleen. I don't have a great memory, but from what I remember, we had to make almost every meal we ate at that Airbnb.
It's bullshit. I stayed in an Airbnb once that my friend got us by the beach, and it literally was not even like an extra property that this family owned to make money. It was their house.
A lot of these stories, it's their house, and like you can sleep on their couch.
Yeah, and they like went to grandma's house for the weekend so they can make like an extra couple $100 renting their house out. And so I stayed in this like preteen girl's bedroom where I had to fall asleep to a huge pushpin board of her at all of her friends' bat mitzvahs.
Look, if you are looking to make extra income, great. Like, rent your room out, rent your couch out, whatever. If you're looking to travel on the cheap, couch surf, do your thing, but just be so careful. There are so many of these stories where someone is told, you know, I won't be there. Come in if in the middle of the night, whenever you get here. The person comes in the middle of the night and like the person at how the house didn't know they were coming.
Yeah.
Or like the person never, like someone else had rented out the Airbnb even though they didn't live in the house, and the homeowners were surprised to find someone walking in the house. Like, oh, just awful things. It's so upsetting.
And I think about this too. A lot of times when you stay at an Airbnb, there's no keys. It's just like a code for the door.
Yeah.
How often are these people changing that code?
I know. Yes, I know. Anyone who's been a guest there can potentially knows the code.
And more often than not, the code at these places that I've stayed in, like this one place in Charleston, the code was 1234.
Great. Great. Good job, Charleston.
I often wonder if I went back and just typed in 1234 and it was the same for the gate and the actual house. I'm like, I could probably just stay there and nobody would notice.
It's really upsetting. It's so upsetting.
I had friends once who were, they were like passing through Oregon and they just needed a place to spend the night. So they got this cheap Airbnb and it turns out that they were, and it gave them like really creepy feelings. Turns out it was the Myrtle capital of Oregon and they didn't even realize.
The Myrtle capital, what's Myrtle?
Oh, I'm sorry, the murder capital of Oregon.
Oh God.
It was the murder capital of Oregon and they didn't even realize.
They should have put that on the Airbnb listing, by the way. This is the murder capital of Oregon, but don't be afraid. We have a pretty crazy hard code to remember.
Yeah.
It's 1234.
And a wide collection of VHS tapes.
Okay, be honest. If you had a room or a cabin that you were using for an Airbnb, would you leave a bunch of VHS tapes, but one of them just says The Ring on it? Or like, Do Not Watch? Or like, Samara's Clinical Studies?
Or you could like, do a personal version of The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just leave a bunch of like, mini DVs and like, voice recorders around that all just have a lot of like,
oh no! Oh no! What's that?
And see if they put together some pretty sweet, sweet student films.
You are so fucked in the head, Bethany.
No, I know. I really want to get an Airbnb and rent it out now, just for the mind games alone.
Bethany, one of my favorite spots to be turned on to the new hot releases for books is at the airport.
Ooh, yes, because whatever they're showing you is what you want to be reading.
And I saw no less than 5 other people reading the new Jennifer Weiner book that summer. So immediately I was like, let me open my Scribd app. Let me see if they carry Jennifer Weiner books. They sure do. But not only do they carry Jennifer Weiner books, I can also access podcasts that she's been on, articles that have been written for her, and more, all in one spot on my Scribd app.
It's so amazing. I have not really typically been an audiobook person. Yeah. However, I was recently talking to somebody about a memoir they were reading that they said was better listened to because it was read by the person who wrote it.
Oh.
And a lot of times with memoirs, that's the way to go. And thank goodness I have the Scribd app because now I can just pull up the book and listen.
With Scribd, you get instant access to millions of ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, and more. You also get a thoughtful, curated editor's pick and smart recommendations based on what you've read, which makes choosing your next book so much easier.
And with Scribd, you get access to their entire library for less than the cost of a single book.
It couldn't be simpler. There's no complicated credits and there's no additional purchases. And discover must-read work from celebrated authors like Roxane Gay, Charles Yu, and more.
And right now, Scribd is offering our listeners a free 60-day trial. So go to try.scribd.com/taste for your free trial.
That's try.scribd.com/taste to get 60 days of Scribd for free. Anyone who knows me knows that I absolutely love wine. And if you love wine as much as I do, you probably already know about Vivino. It's my go-to source for all things wine. I use the app multiple times a week. I use the app not only to shop and buy wine on, but I also use it when I go to the liquor store to check to see if that bottle that I just picked up, because I really think the label is pretty, is actually any good inside.
And if you're like me and you don't know a lot about wine, but let's say you're going to someone's party and you want to bring them a nice bottle, the Vivino app is so helpful because, like Kathleen said, you can use it while you're in a liquor store and look up different wines, look up ratings at the wines that you're looking at, or you can have the wine sent to you. And because it's the world's biggest online wine marketplace, you're also getting the huge wine community that comes with that. 50 million users who have rated and reviewed just about every wine you can think of.
And I know that prices will vary, but there are a handful of Napa wineries that I visited in person before, and I can't find those wineries in my local liquor store. I can find them on Vivino, and I can find them for an affordable price, and it gets shipped directly to me. I don't even need to go to the store.
It's kind of like saying, oh, I know a guy, except the guy is your Vivino app.
Vivino is my number one go-to source for all things wine, and it'll be yours too. Go to vivino.com/acquiredtaste and then use the code acquiredtaste at checkout to save 20% on your first order of up to $200.
That's vivino.com/acquiredtaste, code acquiredtaste, to save 20% on your first order of up to $200.
vivino.com/acquiredtaste, code acquiredtaste. See site for details. Terms apply. Today, I want to talk about debunking health targets, the ones that we are told to hit every single day. And is it really worth the effort? Are these numbers magic?
Like 10,000 steps?
Yes. 10,000 steps, 8 hours of sleep a day.
5 dozen eggs. That's what Gaston told me I'm supposed to eat every day.
No.
To help me get large.
8 glasses of water, 5 servings of fruits and or veggies, brushing your teeth for 2 minutes a day, 2,000 calories a day. How many times have you turned over a package of food and it's like vitamin A and all of these things, the percentages are based on a 2,000 calorie a day diet?
Yeah, oh, totally. Who decided that? I would like 10,000 calories a day, especially if I'm eating 5 dozen eggs. I need all those calories.
Malamars. I don't know why I've been craving Malamars lately.
They're coming into season, aren't they?
Yeah, and then when you open a box, you're like, oh, these aren't that good. They're not what I remember.
I'd never had them until I moved to the East Coast. I don't know, maybe they sell in the Midwest now, but they certainly didn't when I was growing up, and they're great.
So the majority of my research is based off of NewScientist.com, an article by Amelia Tate called 5 Fruits and Veggies, 8 Hours of Sleep. Should we trust these daily health targets?
Great.
So let's start with teeth, Bethany.
Okay.
When was the last time you got your teeth cleaned?
2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago.
You're so good. I
just went.
I'm so embarrassed to tell you when the last time I got my teeth cleaned was.
How long ago was it?
March of 2020.
Kathleen, there are so many people who are laughing at you and rolling their eyes because I know people who have not been to a dentist in 7 years, 10 years.
What? Really?
Yeah. Of course, if you don't have insurance, you can't go unless you want to pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
And also, the dentist is the scariest of the procedures you need to have done every 6 months.
I don't even mind going to the dentist that much. I just, for whatever reason, because of COVID, I just haven't been.
Yeah.
When I was doing research for this podcast, I did make an appointment, though, for my husband and I to go at the same time.
That's great. You can hold hands. Like a couple's massage.
It's the only way that I'm going to get him to go. So 2 minutes a day, you have to brush your teeth. No less than that. Have you heard that before, Bethany?
Yeah, yeah. 2 minutes. That's what it's like singing happy birthday twice to wash your hands and then you need 2 minutes for your teeth.
Do you close your eyes when you brush your teeth?
No, I put my hand on my hip every time, though. I have since I was a kid. And then once over Christmas, my sister and I were brushing our teeth next to each other and we realized we both put our hands on our hips. Like one hand on the hip, the other doing the toothbrush. Do you close your eyes?
I close my eyes every time. I close my eyes when I brush my teeth. And I'm like, am I alone in this? But that's so funny. You put your hand on your hip.
Yeah. I wonder, what, do you know you're closing your eyes? Like, what do you think about?
I didn't realize until lately that I did this, but I think about the way the toothbrush feels in my mouth. And it's like more helpful for me to shut off other senses so I can then focus on my teeth crud. I don't know.
Sure. No, that's great. That's good. I should try closing my eyes, apparently.
People aren't very good at brushing their teeth. A study done in the Netherlands showed that after only 1 minute of brushing, people got only 27% of the plaque in their mouth.
Oh, that's discouraging.
Very discouraging. After 2 minutes, they still had a lot of plaque. They had only gotten 41%. So you really have to focus on brushing well. It's not just about the time.
So it's really about making sure you're moving around.
Yes.
Really, like, perusing the inner depths of your mouth.
Yeah. And, you know, years ago, my mom gave me a water pick, and I'm thinking maybe I should do that after I brush every single time.
Is a water pick just like flossing but with water?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure for my sensitive gums.
Oh, that's true.
Too sensitive.
Bacteria in your mouth can cause gum disease, and gum disease is linked to having Alzheimer's.
No way.
Yes, also, gum disease increases your risk of stroke and heart attack.
Shut up. Wait, I had no idea.
Bacteria from your gums can get into your blood, and it can infect essentially your entire body health.
I knew that it could get, I knew it could travel elsewhere in your body. I had no idea that it like could cause a stroke.
And heart attack. Do you remember teen magazines when we were little would always be like, check with the person you're going to make out with to see if they have a lot of cavities before you kiss them, because they could pass cavities on to you via their saliva. Are you laughing because you remember this?
I don't, but this definitely sounds like something I would have read.
But it's true. It's true, Bethany.
Oh, God, really?
Yes, your partner, the one that you spend a lot of time making out with, you have to be concerned about their tooth health, their mouth health as well, because it can pass to you.
So now you have to ask them about their sex history. You know, yep. You need to know if they've had an STD test.
Yeah.
You need to check with their dentist and see what their dentist thinks.
You ask to look at their x-rays. You have to know.
Yeah. You need a credit score.
And I found this really crazy, weird Reddit story when I was doing some of my research. There is a Reddit user named Death Teeth Story. Ugh. And apparently her husband's family, it's a family tradition that when someone dies, all of their teeth are knocked out and then the teeth are distributed amongst people in the family, and you're supposed to carry a little fabric pouch with you with teeth from dead family members in it.
Who does the punching?
It's like the person's dead and then you knock their teeth out.
Who does the knocking of the teeth out?
I don't know.
Is it like the coroner or the family beats the crap out of this dead person?
It didn't say, but anyway, I just had to stick that in.
For no reason. Horrifying.
It has nothing to do with brushing for 2 whole minutes a day. 10,000 steps. We did a whole segment on this last summer. The number was invented as a marketing ploy for the world's first ever commercial pedometer. It was released in Japan. Though a recent study done by this man, his name is Herman Ponser. He's an evolutionary anthropologist at Duke University in North Carolina. He has been studying hunter-gatherers in Tanzania because they tend to live very long and they stay clear of chronic illnesses from Western societies. Men from this certain tribe called the Hadza tribe, they walk 18,000 plus steps a day. The women walk just shy of 11,000 steps a day. And that is how apparently they stay healthy. That's how they avoid chronic illness.
This is really helpful information because it's nice to know that walking can do a lot. It doesn't have to, you don't have to be throwing tires or screaming at ropes. You just get your steps in.
You get your steps in. And so a lot of people are like, 10,000 steps isn't necessary, but the more steps, the better.
So yeah, 10,000 aren't necessary, but 11,000 are.
Yeah, but 11,000 are. So in 2019, they studied women who took 4,400 steps a day, and they lived longer than women who took 3,000 steps a day.
That's okay. Wow. That's not that much of a difference in steps.
And women who took 7,500 steps a day lived even longer. Their mortality benefit was additional to those who took 4,400.
So the 10,000 isn't necessarily a hard and fast number, but it is important in that it puts your brain into thinking about how much you're walking every day.
Yeah. And you know what? These pedometers that we wear, like on our watches and our belts and whatever, not all steps are created equal. So if you go for, 3,000 steps on the beach because you're expending more energy walking on sand as opposed to just hard concrete, that makes a difference too.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense. When people are running on the beach.
Oh my God.
I'm just floored because that is so incredibly hard.
I know.
It's like the worst form of running because running already sucks. And now you're making it suck more.
I think about how hard I'm breathing when I'm trying to get out of the ocean and like walk out of the water gracefully.
Yeah. Having just been on the beach, I can confirm that it sucks. However, you do get an amazing pedicure because it like gets all of the calluses off your feet and they look amazing afterwards.
I know. I like to go into the ocean and then rub sand in all the orifices of my body to get an overall body exfoliation.
But maybe not all the orifices, but it takes days to get out.
Getting out of ocean water and like trying to do it gracefully is it's basically impossible.
Yeah, no, there's no way. We think manatees are you know, really funny looking, but we are no more graceful than the manatee when it comes to being on the earth.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Okay, let's see. 8 glasses of water a day. We've all heard this one.
Yes, since childbirth.
8 glasses of water a day. It's necessary to live a healthy and moral life. But is it really necessary to gulp down all this water every 24 hours? Like, how much water do you think you drink in a day?
I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I drink probably, what is this? This sucker is 40 ounces. I drink probably 3 to 4 of these a day.
Bethany, you're drinking 120 ounces a day or more.
Is that too much?
That's a lot. Let's go over some of my research. Water is important because it delivers nutrients to your body. It flushes out waste. It helps the cells maintain their shape. It lubricates our joints like a natural KY jelly. It also helps our brains work to full capacity. A study from the Georgia Institute of Technology in 2018, they found that 2 hours of vigorous gardening in the sun without drinking can be enough to impair cognitive function. Just 2 hours in the sun, not even doing strenuous work.
I totally, totally believe that. I know that someone in my family had to go to the hospital and they thought that this person was incredibly, incredibly sick because there was like a fever and all sorts of bad stuff was happening. Turns out they were just dehydrated. That was it.
Out of here.
Water is so much more important than we even realize.
So SciTechDaily.com, they recently asked 5 scientists about how much water the human body really needs. And the answer was really interesting because sometimes you hear these fitness people like, if you weigh this much, like this times certain ounces, whatever, that's how much you should be drinking a day. Basically, all 5 scientists that SciTechDaily.com talked to said the same thing. They said, follow your thirst, replace sugary drinks with water, and look at your urine.
Okay, so what color should our urine be?
Our urine should be light yellow or clear.
Okay.
But if your urine is only ever clear, that means you're drinking too much water.
Okay. Isn't it fascinating when we're supposed to just listen to our bodies? That's so weird.
So weird. Because how much water you need is based on so many different things, you can't really pinpoint exactly how much you need. You just kind of have to listen to the thirst in your body. So like body size and composition, like how much fat do you have versus how much muscle, like how much you sweat, or do you live in a hot or humid environment? Are you wearing too much clothing? How much do you urinate? Like, are you at a high altitude? Are you taking certain medications? Are you pregnant? You know, do you have sickness? Like, all of these things factor into how much water you need. So it changes from day to day based on weather and how much clothing you're wearing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as an extreme example, when we were in the Grand Canyon in August, hiking through the Grand Canyon, we drank so much water every single day. And yet I didn't go to the bathroom once during daylight hours, right? Like I would go to the bathroom once at night, even though I was drinking probably 100 ounces of water a day because we were just sweating it out and like we're so dehydrated.
Yeah.
But here I go to the bathroom a million times a day drinking the same amount of water.
I've heard of intuitive eating before. Have you, Bethany?
Yeah, it's what I'm supposed to do in terms of like being recovered from an eating disorder. We're supposed to eat when we're hungry and stop when we're full is what my nutritionist keeps telling me.
But you never really hear about intuitive drinking. And to be really regimented on, I need this certain amount of ounces a day, like it can backfire. You could get less quality sleep because you're trying to like hit these ounces and you're only drinking at night instead of in the morning. And then you're up going to the bathroom all night and it affects you in a totally different way. It has so many negative effects waking up when you're supposed to be sleeping. So intuitive thirst drinking.
Monitor that urine.
Like stand up, turn around, look down before you flush.
Yeah, monitor that urine.
the 8-glass-a-day figure came from the year 1945.
Oh, yikes.
And it hasn't even been updated. In 1945, the U.S. Food and Nutrition Board came to the conclusion that 8 glasses a day was like the figure that everybody needed to drink, because they're like, oh, everybody should be eating 2,000 calories a day. So 2 liters of water is good for 2,000 calories.
That's like back when, you know, turkey brands were saying, slap your wife if you want dinner. And like, you know, that was a national ad campaign. That's how you knew it was time for dinner. Slap, slap, slap your wife. It's time for dinner.
Wait, stop it. Are you joking?
Yes, of course I'm joking. But like, it, you know, it wouldn't have been frowned on.
Bethany, you could really convince anyone of anything, because I thought that that was real.
I try to convince a lot of people of a lot of things.
So sleep. Bethany, how much would you say, how many hours of sleep do you get a night?
Like 6 or 7, maybe.
That's it? You don't get 8 full hours a night?
No, not usually. How about you?
It widely varies. Some weeks I'll be working on like 4 hours, 5 hours a night. Other weeks I'll be like 10 hours a night, 9 hours a night. It's probably something that everybody should focus on, is making that number more steady.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the same time, same bedtime, same wake up time every day.
And if you've ever heard someone say that they've trained their body to need less, that is a total myth that you can do that.
That just means they're using cocaine.
It means, yeah, they're using their uppers and their downers in a strategic way.
Yes.
MedicalNewsToday.com, they did a really excellent 2-part sleep series, which I'll link in the show notes. And they are like, it's a total myth. You cannot train your body to need less than that. The adults need 8 hours. Some sources say that adults need 7 hours, but really 8 is the number that you should be aiming for. According to experts, it's rare for anyone to need fewer than 6 hours of sleep to function. Although some people might claim that they feel fine with limited sleep, scientists think that it's just that they're used to the negative effects of reduced sleep.
Sure, that makes sense. And like, you get used to being like tired and forgetful.
Yeah.
And that feels normal after a while, I guess.
And if you've had a really terrible night's sleep, the best thing you can do is take a nap to regain some of those sleeping hours.
Dennis says that I am a nap pusher. What? Because anytime he says anything like he's not feeling good or whatever, I'm always saying, wouldn't you love to take a nap right now? Don't you think, man, you know it would feel so good? A nap.
Yeah.
Taking a nap. Because if he takes a nap, I take a nap. And like, all I want to do is take a nap. I've already taken a nap once today, and I'm probably going to take another one.
Okay.
Naps are the best.
You were not wrong about that, Bethany, because a very large study showed that the effects of napping on people who are not sleep deprived can actually lead to cognitive improvement, behavioral improvements, and creative improvements, better brain function in people who aren't sleep deprived who take naps.
You and I both used to work in a job where we were not sleeping very much.
No.
And we both saw the difference in the other person as soon as we started getting regular sleep again.
Yes.
Like, I saw the color return to your face.
Yeah.
I saw your like sense of humor return and like your skin started glowing again. And it was your eyes got clearer and it was the same. It was like once I started sleeping and not working those crazy hours.
Yeah.
I became a human.
Yeah, you looked like you enjoyed living again.
It's kind of amazing what happens when you're getting more than 3 hours of sleep at night.
I was reading a profile. Maybe it was in The New Yorker. I can't remember which celebrity it was, but the celebrity who was being interviewed was just walking around Brooklyn with the person writing about them. And they walked into a Brooklinen store because the celebrity was like, I need to get an alarm clock so that when I wake up in the morning, I'm not using my phone, because as soon as you use your alarm clock for your phone, then you're looking at Twitter and Facebook and all of this. And maybe we need to start the hashtag like bring back alarm clocks.
Those old timey ones. I still don't know how to set them, but they're nice and folksy looking. Schoolhouse.com sells them for like $95. They sure know what they want for that.
Do you use an alarm to wake up every day?
Yeah. Yeah. It's on my phone.
Really?
Yeah. Because I want to wake up and get stuff started. Because I'm the most productive in the morning before my insecurities kick in.
Yeah.
So I wake up. I do all my things before the sun comes up. Once the sun comes up, the day is shot.
Yeah, no.
And I'm just trying to like break even. You don't use an alarm?
No. Most days I don't.
What about days when we have to record?
Yeah. When we're recording at 8 o'clock in the morning, I I will set an alarm those days. But when we record at 10, I know,
yeah.
And I've done my research the day before.
Yeah.
I know that my body is going to wake up probably around in between 8 and 8:25.
And does it?
Yeah. Especially if I've gone to bed at a reasonable hour and I didn't like force myself to stay up watching TV all night, I do not need to set an alarm.
Yeah, some people's bodies do that. Mine doesn't.
Maybe you should every other day set your alarm. Just try it for a week and see how you feel.
Okay.
You know?
I kind of have morning FOMO if I do that, but you're right. I'm curious what time I would wake up.
It doesn't have to be every day. I just kind of see what time your body just, yeah, let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would watch. I wake up at 1 in the afternoon and I'm like, everything's changed.
I mean, so getting a lot of sleep and getting the sleep that you need 8 hours a night, it's very important because if you don't, again, Alzheimer's, Bethany, it's coming up because your body can't properly flush out certain toxins and harmful metabolic debris and all these proteins built up in your brain, and you are more prone to Alzheimer's and dementia if you don't sleep enough.
That's awful.
It's very depressing because
yes.
I guarantee you the majority of people listening to this podcast right now, they do not sleep a full 8 hours a night.
No. I mean, most people can't. We live in a society that laughs at you. If you're like, I can't work because I need to get my full 8 hours, they're going to be like, you're fired.
Guess the state that gets the least amount of sleep.
New York.
Nope. Hawaii.
Why?
I suspect it's because, at least this is my experience in Oahu. Oahu is an island that wakes up early.
Okay.
Because they want to get stuff done before the heat comes.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But they are the state that sleeps the least amount. And so, Bethany, maybe every other day not waking up so you can get stuff done in the morning might be a good thing for you.
Yeah. Okay. I realize I have to wake up early tomorrow, but Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday's going to be the day.
Colorado and Minnesota are the best places for people to get sleep.
Yeah, I believe that. Minnesotans are pretty good at, like, I don't know, being smart about listening to what's good for their bodies.
You know what? I take some of that back. South Dakota is actually the best place to get to snooze.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So 72% of adults in South Dakota get at least 7 hours of slumber a night. After that comes Colorado and Minnesota. They get 70% of adults in those states get 7 hours a night.
I feel like South Dakota and like the Midwestern states, there's less like the tech bro.
Yes.
I'm working 24 hours, so you better be working 24 hours mentality.
Uh-huh.
That I feel like you get a lot on the coasts.
So the CDC actually has a whole chart of the United States to see which states sleep the most and which states don't.
Yeah.
And all of the evidence goes hand in hand. The states that sleep the least, they have higher rates of diabetes, stroke, coronary disease, and obesity.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we should. Okay.
Okay. And the last health marker I want to talk about today is getting those 5 servings of fruits and or veggies a day. I actually didn't know that we were supposed to have 5 servings of these things a day. Did you?
I always heard it was 5 of vegetables and like 2 to 3 of fruit.
So dietary guidelines for Americans are 2.5 cups of vegetables and 2 cups of fruit for overall health, which is like 9 servings a day. I am really trying to work on getting better nutrition in my body. And that means eating more vegetables because I'll eat 1,000 cups of grapes a day.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Grapes are nature's candy.
Yeah, I'll eat 1,000 cups of like candy corn, but I'm not going to be eating that much broccoli.
It's not corn, Bethany. It's not corn.
It has the word corn in it, Kathleen.
No.
You won't win this argument.
You listen, one of the 3 things that I did at the top of this podcast is that you need to roast broccoli with soy sauce.
That sounds delicious.
Oh man, it's like a salt bomb. It's so good.
Make sure you gotta get your water then. Watch your urine. Keep an eye on your urine.
Government surveys of English citizens, they get only 28% of the fruits and veggies that they need a day. And Americans only get 10%.
Oh no, that's not good.
The World Health Organization is like, you need to eat fruits and vegetables because it will decrease your risk of cancer by a lot.
But we're like, nuh-uh, candy corn.
So I've heard before that you're supposed to have like a really colorful plate plate. Lots of colors on your plate. And studies back that up. There's this college in England called the Imperial College, and they found that at least 10 servings of these things a day could reduce your risk of stroke and heart disease by 31%.
Isn't it sad that we need to be reminded to eat real food? Because, like, all of this stuff is, like, this has been going on since people were people.
Yeah.
But we're so disconnected from our bodies and from what real food is that we have to be convinced by science to eat food that's been around forever.
I recently asked my husband to stop putting cases of beer in the front of our fridge because it blocks my view to all of the good foods that are in the back.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, we forget what's back there and then it goes bad.
That same study from Imperial College found that apples, pears, cruciferous vegetables like cabbage, kale, berries, and citrus fruits, they were kind of better than some of the others. So not all fruits and vegetables are created equal. You have to look into which ones have the best powers to help you live longer.
That's not overwhelming at all.
Not overwhelming at all.
Growing up, Saturday morning was the best because you poured your cereal and then you watched your cartoons. But now my mornings are I go for my old lady walk and then I want to get some protein in my body either before or after my old lady walk. And protein powders are fine or whatever, but you know what's better? Cereal.
Yes.
Cereal is better. And so that's why Kathleen and I are so obsessed with Magic Spoon, because it's the cereal you remember, except it's not full of sugar and it has protein in it.
Eating a healthy breakfast does not have to be boring. Magic Spoon has all of the amazing flavors that I love without all of the, you know, not very nutritious stuff. And like Bethany's nutritionist has told us, sometimes it's really important for your body to feel the motion of chewing.
Yes. Yeah. So like maybe you want to get your protein in, I don't know, fruity. That's my favorite. Or peanut butter cereal.
My favorite is the Frosted, hands down. It feels like dessert, except it has 0 grams of sugar each serving.
They also have cookies and cream. They have cinnamon, blueberry, maple waffle, and cocoa. And if you subscribe today, you can get cereal shipped to your doorstep every month, not to mention saving 25% on every order. And you can edit your subscription to switch it up and keep yourself stocked up on cereal.
Magic Spoon is keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb,
plus 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, and only 140 calories a serving if you're someone who counts all that stuff.
So to try yours, go to magicspoon.com/taste5 and use our promo code TASTE5 at checkout to get $5 off of your order and try it today. Now that's TASTEFIVE. Not the number 5, you're going to spell it out.
And remember, if you subscribe to Magic Spoon, you get 25% off, which is their best deal ever. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, subscribe and get your delicious protein-packed cereal on the regular at magicspoon.com/taste5 and use the code TASTE5 to save big.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
So we got this voicemail from Taste Bud Hannah. She's from Vermont. And I think I've played it at the back of a previous podcast, but I just wanted to dig into it a little more because she's talking about her coworker who passed away, which is not funny.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But so she went to the funeral at the church and the priest is like, OK, we're going to go behind the church and bury said coworker.
OK.
And because the coworker, their remains were cremated, they basically put the coworker's ashes into the church garden, which I guess is something that this church does.
Okay, yeah.
Which I think is kind of beautiful.
That's lovely.
Anyway, so there was like a little wooden box in the garden and they took her ashes out. They dumped them in the hole. And then the minister is like, okay, if anybody would like to take a little bit of dirt from the pile and put it on top of the ashes, you know, which is that's not a weird tradition. A lot of cultures do that.
Yeah, sure.
We take a little dirt, put it on the body and whatnot. So everybody is doing that. And the last person gets up and she was like a little bit confused. She took a scoop from where the ashes were and then put it back into the dirt pile that you were supposed to originally scoop from. She realizes her mistake and she starts scrambling and then scooping all of this dirt. I just feel like this is something that would happen to me. Like I would scoop from the wrong dirt pile and then put the ashes in the wrong place. And oh my God.
There's an episode of My Life is Murder starring Lucy Lawless where her husband has died before the show ever starts. So we kind of learn that she's like mourning the death of her husband.
Yeah.
And he's cremated. And in one episode, she decides it's finally time to release his ashes into the river. And so she takes the lid off. It's this very sad moment. You know, the episode has been sort of heart-wrenching. And she releases the ashes into the wind. And then it's like a wide shot of her standing on the bridge. And you see the wind change. And you see all of the ashes come right back at her into her open mouth.
I'm sorry.
And I think her husband's name is like Greg, and she's from New Zealand. So she's like, ugh, Grig.
Greg, yeah, in my mouth. Hannah says that the person started to panic shovel, and she's just shoveling all over the place. I would have lost my shit. I would have just started like crying laughing at that moment.
I mean, I definitely want to be cremated if I'm not given a Norse burial. However, the one bad thing about cremation is that cremains are a little bit unpredictable. You know, with a body, you at least know that all of the body is in one place. But like cremains can, they have a mind of their own, man. They go willy-nilly everywhere.
I just started reading this really interesting book about this woman in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s in Manhattan, where she is a grave robber because she takes bodies with abnormalities and sells them to doctors to study.
That used to be a thing where it was really hard to get bodies for doctors to study. And so grave robbing was a viable business.
Yes.
And people would install grates in front of the grave site so people couldn't get in. They would like put locks on things.
They would hire guards.
They
would hire guards to guard the body until enough time had passed that the body wouldn't be good for medical use anymore, like the body had enough time to decompose.
I mean, think it is, we need our doctors to be able to study on something, you know. And it's like
crazy.
What are you gonna do? But also you kind of don't want your great uncle dug out of the earth without his expressed permission.
If you want to use my body for medical research, please, by all means. And then just after you're done, just cremate me and give my remains to my loved ones or something. I don't care.
Give my regards to Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Whatever. I thought I was going to donate my body to science because you just picture your body being used like in the middle of an arena of students where like the surgeon has a light on you and you're being very respectfully studied. But I forgot about being able to donate your body to like these decomposition farms, which is very important.
Wait, what?
That's like these places where investigators can study how a body decomposes. And so that way they can learn if they are, you know, looking at a body someone has found, it helps them understand how long this body's been out there, what the elements do to how quickly you decompose. Like, it's a really important part of forensic science.
I didn't even know that this existed. Where did you learn this?
Everywhere.
Oh, cool.
You know. Let me look it up really quickly. Decomp farms.
Did you see this thing that I tagged you on Instagram? You probably didn't. But the flameless floating candlesticks that you can attach to your ceiling with fishing string to make it look like they're just floating in the air?
No.
Yeah.
A body farm. It's called a body farm. It's a research facility. This is from Wikipedia, where decomposition can be studied in a variety of settings. The initial one was set up in 87 in Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah, it's like seven such facilities exist across the U.S.
Wow.
So there's one in the subtropical environment in Florida. There's one in northern Michigan. And then there's one at Texas State University at Freeman Ranch, which is the largest. It's 26 acres. They also have them in Australia and Canada.
26 acres of bodies.
Yeah. You can, donate your body, sign a form to ensure their wishes are carried out after death.
That's wild.
And then unknown or unclaimed bodies have been accepted for donation in the U.S., although some consider this as unethical. It's something to look into because it is a super duper important part of science because it helps solve murders. You know, it helps like bring closure to families. But it's like a part of that whole industry that is kind of tough to think about.
Yeah. It's not sexy. Like,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, not man. Like forensic odontology, which is the sexiest of the odontologies.
What is odontology?
I think it's like the study of teeth. Oh. I don't know.
Actually, that is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of sexy. Kathleen, can I talk about something I'm doing this weekend that is happening? The Global Citizen Festival is back on this year. If you don't know what that is, it's this huge festival. It happens around the world. The one that I work with happens in New York City and Central Park. It didn't happen last year because nothing happened last year. But this year, it helps to end world hunger, and it does a bunch of other different things. It works to like get women in developing countries period products, just like all of this different great stuff. And this year, somehow it's going to be going for 24 hours around the world. I don't know how that's working, but in New York, I'm doing the Voice of God again. So during the live performances,
cool.
I come over the loudspeaker and I say really long names of like world leaders from around the world and introduce them.
Bethany, that is so, what an honor. I know that you've done this.
It's really fun.
You've done it a couple of years in a row, but what an honor to be asked to do this. You know, last time that it aired, I was watching the broadcast on MSNBC, and every now and then you could hear your voice and I was like, oh my God, I know her.
It's in the US, it will be broadcast on Apple Music, Apple TV, the app, YouTube, and Twitter. It's going to air on ABC, ABC News Live, iHeartRadio, Hulu, the Roku channel, FX, and Time. And then if you're overseas and you want to watch it, just go to globalcitizen.org and you can get all the info there.
How so that'll cool. be fun.
Yeah, I hope I'm not there for 24 hours. I hope that that's not something we're doing in New York.
Are you nervous?
I always get nervous. And last night I actually had a nightmare that I didn't get to the streaming on time because Beyonce was keeping me in her apartment and showing me all the dance moves that Jennifer Lopez had just taught her. And I was like, I gotta go. I'm so late and I couldn't find my phone. Beyonce. I was so stressed out.
Beyonce, queen of the hive, please let me go.
Please let me go. Oh my God. But it's fun. Beyonce's going to be performing. Billie Eilish is going to be performing. Oh. Bunch of other people too, so it'll be fun.
Speaking of Apple Plus, I know I've been like harassing you to watch Ted Lasso, and Ted Lasso won a bunch of Emmys last night. Also, Bethany, Octavia Spencer has a television show on Apple Plus called Truth Be Told, and she's an award-winning podcaster. Like,
amazing.
Doing investigative reporting. Bethany, you have to, first of all, the podcast setup is so not like what it looks like in real life. I'm like, huh.
Is like, she in like a super professional podcasting studio?
No, she's in just like a giant room. And I'm like, okay, that would never work because you need smaller rooms so the sound doesn't bounce.
That's be very echoey.
It's really good. You should watch it.
I love that podcasting is making its way into scripted stuff now, because in an episode of My Life is Murder, there's also a podcaster, and it's like a true crime podcast that's making everyone upset. Kathleen, what did you learn this week, my friend?
I learned that it's scientifically proven if you have a room in your house or in your office or something that's dedicated to doing something creative in that room, you need to paint it a darker color.
Why?
Because darker colors inspire creativity, apparently. It's based on science. You can look it up, but a lot of recording studios, like music studios, that's why they're always painted dark colors, because it's just better for creative inspiration.
What about all those posters that say create, cultivate, love, laugh, live, that are like hot pink and orange?
I guess you can put those on a dark wall and then it inspires your brain or something. I don't know.
Amazing.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that there's this conspiracy theory that Kurt Cobain faked his death and became Rivers Cuomo from Weezer.
What?
Which I had never heard of before.
Rivers Cuomo. Okay.
Yeah. I guess they bear a passing resemblance, but not really. Their voices don't really sound the same. I know that Weezer has done like Nirvana covers.
Yeah.
And people are saying, well, that proves that, you know, they are the same person. And also, I think they went through and like looked at all of the Weezer tour dates and all of the Nirvana tour dates, and they never toured in the same city at the same time, except for once they did. So like, again, but it's just like one of the more bizarre celebrity conspiracy theories I'd never heard of before.
So I'm looking at side by side pictures of them and I see it a little bit, but Kurt Cobain has much bigger ears.
Ears, that's the thing, Kathleen. You're smart to focus on the ears.
I always focus on the ears because I have pointy little elf ears. And I'm always looking for people who might be related to me via our elf ears.
That's like one thing they say to look at is if you think someone is being portrayed by someone else, look at their ears because noses can look the same, mouths can look the same, but yeah. Ears are so distinctly different person to person. That's why if you're pretending to be someone else, cover your ears.
Also feet. Like my brother and I, it's just so weird. My brother and I have the same feet.
Are his feminine or are yours a little more masculine?
Mine are definitely more masculine, but we have the same feet as my dad. Like we all just have the same weird clubby feet.
What a bizarre gene to be real strong.
Our toes are shaped the same way. And we didn't realize that until a few years ago. We were both standing on the beach watching the water wash over our feet. And I was like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
We're feet twins.
My brother-in-law has perfectly square feet. And I have never seen anything like it. It's one of my favorite things. His feet are as wide as they are tall. And his toes are all exactly the same height. It's like someone made a computer drawing of his feet, but then forgot to refine it. And they were like, square toes.
Or like someone made feet out of Legos.
Yeah, exactly. He's got square Lego feet. It's wild, Kathleen. It's like he's a hobbit, but small.
But Miss Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson. If you go to my Instagram this weekend, I posted a picture of me doing Ariel on the beach with Cthulhu coming out of the ocean deep in the background.
That was some great photoshopping there.
Thank you. It took me far too long. You can follow me on Twitter at Radio Bethany. What about you, Kathleen?
I am Webgirl Kathleen on everything. And if you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter, Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, there's a Philly meetup coming up in October. I think it's October 17th, so make sure you check that out. Join the Facebook fan group.
Yeah, they're wonderful. You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. Please send us your scary and spooky stories, preferably true, but we are coming to spooky season when we read all of your scary stories.
We also have a snail mail address, and that is an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Please give us a phone call. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode. That number is 917-994-0353.
And twice a month, we do live shows on our Patreon for our $5 members or $2 members. It's just sort of like a tip, like, hey, yeah, thanks for putting out all of these episodes a month. But our $5 members get live shows twice a month. And our next live show is on September 29th.
That's right. It's a Wednesday. Our podcast is edited by Dennis Callow. He's a great follow on social media. Follow him at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
Let's see. What else, Bethany? Is that it?
Oh, this is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Carlin calling from Pennsylvania. Longtime listener, this is probably my third or fourth time calling. I'm a new mom, and I'm actually catching up on all of your episodes because I've been listening to you guys since the very beginning. And I'm listening to the episode from August 18th, number 346. And Kathleen was talking about how she was at a mom's house, hanging out with her friend and Neil, and they were just hanging by the pool, having a good time. And Kathleen was saying how she just felt like she was just going to wear a bathing suit that day and didn't care and wasn't going to fold her arms over her body and just wanted to relax. And I, being a new mom, totally can relate to that. I had my baby girl back in June and I had her via C-section, so not the way that I thought it was going to go, but we're fine. But I did have a bachelorette party a few months later and it was on a lake and I had to be in a bathing suit and I was really, really toying with what to wear. And it was very hard for me to come to terms with my new body. You know, just being around all these other younger girls that don't have kids. You know, I'm one of the first of my friends groups to have babies. So it's a lot of change. But when I went, I said, fuck it. I'm putting on that bathing suit. And I put on that bikini and I felt great. And a lot of the girls commended me and said that what I'm doing is a good thing and to not be afraid
of what other people think, because the stress on snapping back after having a baby is unreal, and it's not really even fathomable. But yeah, I related to that really well, to Kathleen struggling with body issues my whole life as well. So I just wanted to thank her for saying that, because it made me feel really good. And now I'm a blubbering mess and I have to go back to work. But I love you guys, and I love your podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. It's great. Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, ladies. This is Raven calling you guys from Virginia. I was just listening to an older episode. Actually, not that old. I think I'm only one behind. But you guys were talking about accidentally leaving your cats in closets. So I used to have a cat in my early 20s that I loved dearly. Turns out I had an allergy and had to rehome him to a good friend. But regardless, when I first got that cat, I had moved into a new apartment by myself. Before I'd really moved anything in, I was doing the usual housekeeping that you do when you move into a new place, like just cleaning the kitchen and cleaning the refrigerator, because I don't trust that other people have cleaned it well enough. And somehow in doing that, as I left the refrigerator open, my cat jumped in it. And the next morning, an entire night went by. I walked to my kitchen, I heard the meow, and you guys, I had shut my cat in an empty refrigerator for an entire night. I still to this day feel like the worst human being in the entire world for having done that. The cat was fine, wonderful, he was great, but also as an anxious person, I don't know if you all experience this or not, but I tend to relive sort of embarrassing or just awkward things I may have said to someone or done in my life at any point, and these memories just pop out of nowhere to make me further feel uncomfortable about things. And that cat story is one that just randomly pops to my mind every now and then to just hurt my heart a little bit, and it feels a lot better to get it off my chest. So thanks for letting me ramble. Hope you guys have a wonderful week and hopefully a good weekend. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
Hey, Bethany, Kathleen, this is Liana. I was just listening to your bonus episode about being responsible for your nice things and like never leaving your coat anywhere or shoes. And I was laughing because I remember in 2014 when I was being admitted, taking an oath to practice law in New York City, I wore my new Michael Kors, like, wool coat, and I was, like, looking, you know, feeling great about it, and they said, oh, here, you can hang your coats over there, where all the, like, people who are getting admitted, and, you know, I was like, okay, cool, like, I knew it was, you know, on a side, no one was being let in other than the people and the family, and so, when I was leaving, I went to get my coat, and guess what? It was not there. I wore that coat once. I was so upset. And, you know, like you think that you're there with people who are swearing in and swearing to do good and represent people and being honest and all that crap. And you just take someone's coat. To this day, I do not leave my coat anywhere. Like any restaurant I go in, I always say, no, I'm keeping my coat. That's my story. Hope you guys are having a great day. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is your taste buds, Megan from Iowa. And I would say I'm not having a sexy day right now. I was just listening to the latest podcast talking about egg freezing. And I am actually right in the middle of my own IVF cycle. And that means I'm taking a shot in the stomach every morning and evening, and I am so excited to be doing this because that means I am going to be going through a surrogate. Already have a surrogate in place. My husband and I are excited. To be honest, I'm not entirely excited about the baby portion. The reason why we're going through a surrogacy is because I have some major anxiety, have some problems with medical things, and I also just, I can't right now. I'm a circus artist, and I am 36. I'm starting to get my foot into the career that I want, and this is the perfect way for us to have a very small family. But anyway, heard you guys talking about the egg freezing, and I just wanted to say it is kind of sucks, but it's also way better than being pregnant. So, and one very random thing. It was a podcast a few months ago maybe, and Bethany was talking about how Dennis and her were going around
looking for a David Bowie vinyl, and I literally punched the ceiling or the roof of my car because I was like, fuck yes, David Bowie's my favorite artist ever. Anyway, I love you guys so much. Talk to you later.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany and fellow Taste Buds. I just got through partway through their most recent bonus episode, and as a panic nurse, as this is the only reason I'm calling, you're talking about how expensive medications and healthcare and all that stuff is, and it's totally stupid. It's bonkers. Totally agree. I'm sure this isn't what you meant, but as an anxious nurse who's actually had to deal with this, please, please, please never bring your own medications in to the hospital and take them without telling nursing staff or your doctor, because we really do need to know what you're taking in case there's something you can't take for a procedure or you have abnormal labs. So, again, I'm sure you were just kidding, and I just want to make sure that people do know that we shouldn't do that because it can cause a lot of problems. But I agree, healthcare is screwy, and hopefully we can get it figured out in the future. But I hope you're all having a wonderful day, evening, or whatever time it is. Bye, you. Bye.
Hey ladies, it's Kelsey, your Texas taste bud. The commercial thing y'all were talking about, the commercial was talking about the show that you were watching. Well, the other day I was watching a show on CW, and they take clips for their anti-smoking campaigns. Well, whoever decided to schedule that clip messed up, because the clip they chose showed what happened after we would have gotten back from the commercial break. So they kind of spoiled their own show. And anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny that different companies are doing that now. Love you, ladies. Bye.